This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een amma ba'd. Allama Busiri says then next, إِنِّ اتَّهَمْتُ نَصِيحَ الشَّيْبِ فِي عَذَلِي وَالشَّيْبُ أَبْعَدُ فِي نُصْحٍ عَنِ التُّهَمِ إن اتهمت نصيح الشيب في عذلي والشيب أبعد في نصح عن التهم. So as you know, in the midst of this dialogue, where the one who has this obsession, this love, and who's expressing it, has finally confessed it, and now he's talking, and now he's speaking and he's confessing and he's declaring what this is all about. But then he goes on to discuss other things. So now he's saying to this person, after saying to him, as we did last night, may you be spared my state. عَدَدْكَ حَالِي لَا سِرِّي بِمُسْتَتِرٍ عَنِ الْوُشَاتِ وَلَا دَائِي بِمُنْحَسِمِ. May you be spared my state. I cannot hide my secrets from my detractors. My sickness will not leave me. And then he said, مَحَطَّنِ النُّصْحَ لَكِنْ لَسْتُ أَسْمَعُهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ عَنِ الْعُذَّالِ فِي صَمَمِ. Which means that you've offered me sincere advice, but I don't hear it, because a lover is deaf from all of his reproaches. That's what a lover is deaf from everything. Anybody who tells him so, عُذَّالِ means anybody who reproaches him, tries to correct him, tries to set him aright, or tries to make him realize that you're spoiling your life, you're wasting your life, you're causing detriment to your health. Why are you doing this for? And then after that, he turns it around. You can tell this is a very extremely eloquent person and very deeply thinking and profound individual. So after telling him that there's no way that, you know, you can tell me, I'm not going to listen to it, even though I completely understand that you're sincere. Because the lover is going to be deaf to any reproach. And then he says, you are an individual, a human being. You could have ulterior motives. You could have other motives for reproaching me, for telling me off. So forget you, there is another one, another reproacher, who cannot be considered suspicious at all, an absolutely neutral one, and I didn't even listen to that one. Who is he talking about? So that's what he says here, إِنِّ اتَّهَمْتُ نَصِيحَ الشَّيْبِ فِي عَذَلِي وَالشَّيْبُ أَبْعَدُ فِي نُصْحٍ عَنِ التُّهَمِ. I suspect the counsel even of my own grey hairs. I'm getting all of these grey hairs and I still haven't prepared anything. It still hasn't hit me and it hasn't struck me that I'm about to go into my grave. So although this, now as you can see, he's moving away from the love poetry aspect to actually making people think and getting them to think, because grey hairs is something that everybody's going to experience generally. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 14 or 19 or, you know, minimum number of white hairs. As a miracle, he only had so few. But that's something that each one of us is going to deal with. So is our grey hair, is that going to wake us up or not? Or are we still going to be in slumber? So now, as you see, he's actually moving away from the whole love poetry thing to start speaking about admonition and reminders and these things related to the hereafter. So he's saying that I suspect the counsel even of my own grey hairs, that even though they're so neutral, I'm even suspicious of them, although their advice is far indeed from deception. Because what has grey hairs got to do with anything? There's no conspiracy in a grey hair. And then he says in the next one, فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ مَتَّعَظَتْ مِنْ جَهْلِهَا بِنَذِيرِ الشَّيْبِ وَالْهَرَمِ. Thanks to its foolishness, my ill-urging ego has paid no heed to the warner, white hair and decrepitude. So now he's blaming himself of why I'm not paying heed to all of this. So now this is self, you can say this is self-criticism to make people think for themselves as well. So a lot of thought has gone into this, it's amazing. But sometimes these kind of poems, they just flow from a person. So these kind of people must be very deep thinkers, that they can just flow with these things. And otherwise, look how long it would take to construct something like this with all of these different meanings, going from one place to the next, ajib, and making it so meaningful. And they say that this is one of the best of, I mean, this is the most celebrated poem in our history. So I mean, it must be a masterpiece. It's just we need the minds and profundity to be able to understand it and appreciate it. So when he mentioned in the previous couplet, he mentioned that I'm not going to accept the advice of any advisor, any reproacher. Here he says why. He says, how can I listen to anybody when I didn't even listen to somebody before you that's more closer to home than me, that more closer to home to me than you, and somebody who's more neutral than you, who could never be suspected of having any conspiracy. It's an advisor that announces that a person has gone over the hill, that a person is going towards his death. So it's a very profound warner, but still I didn't listen to it. It tells me that the safar is close. The journey is about to begin. The journey of the hereafter is about to begin. But I didn't. وَلَا قَبِلْتُ نُصْحَهُ. I didn't accept it. I didn't accept it. وَلَا فَمَا سَمِعْتُ وَعْضَهُ. And neither did I even listen to its preaching. So I didn't even take into consideration that I've got white hair, which is the case with many of us. Even though هو مبرع من الأغراض بعيد عن التهم. It is so far away from any kind of suspicion or any kind of ulterior motive. Still. And then he says, فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ مَتَّعَظَتْ مِنْ جَهْلِهَا بِنَذِيرِ الشَّيْبِ وَالْهَرَمِ وَلَا أَعَدَّتْ مِنَ الْفِعْلِ الْجَمِيلِ قِرَى ضَيْفٍ أَلَمَّ بِرَأْسِي غَيْرَ مُحْتَشِمِ. So what he's saying now is, thanks to its foolishness, my ill-urging self, soul, nafs, has paid no heed to the warner, white hair and decrepitude. Neither has it prepared fair deeds in hospitable welcome for a guest who has taken up residence in my head. That's what you call poetry. The guest that has taken up residence in my head, on my head. That's talking about the white hairs. So now, he uses a number of terms here. He says, this word here, qira dayfin. Qira means what you prepare for a guest. In Arabic, it's amazing how, remember, even for love, there's the stages, there's so many words for the stages. There are different names for different types of food that are prepared. Not food items, but food prepared at different functions or for different reasons, that's given different names. In English, how many? We have a meal, we have a dish, we have, I guess, breakfast, lunch, supper, which they hardly use, dinner. We have a few of terms like this as well. So, qira is the food that's given to a guest, right? That's prepared for a guest, qira. Ma'duba is general dawat, food that you give in a general invitation. Tuhfa is the food you give to anybody that's coming or going. Maybe give them a bit of supplies, you know, give them a packed lunch or something like that. Could be called a tuhfa. Walima is the wedding meal, right? That's called a walima. They've got one when you feed people at a birth, they call that a kharis. Special word for that one as well. Then the seventh day of the wiladat, the seventh day, what do you call that one? You call that the aqiqah, right? Then some people, they even feed during circumcision. There's a special one, they have a special dawat for circumcision as well. Alhamdulillah, I don't think many of us do that, right? But some people do that as well. So they call that the ghudayra. And then there's others as well. So these are different Arabic terms. Now what he's now saying is, all of this is due to my nafs, which is the nafsul ammara, the evil inciting self, which Yusuf alayhi salam speaks of in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes him, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. So that's the nafs ammara. So what happened is, the warner in the form of this white hair, it came along. But then my nafs al-ammara bisu did not listen to it, even though it's announcing, look, you're about to go now. Your time in this world is diminishing. And it's telling you, not with a verbal, not verbally, it's telling you with its whole state. Its whole state, the whole white hair is telling you this. But it still didn't, that you've only got a bit of life left. But this nafs, it's so bold. that it didn't listen. And it didn't listen at all. It didn't stop doing its sins. It continued to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it carried on. Not in the path of the one that this white hair was telling me that you should be going. Number two, it didn't do anything right. But on the other hand, it also did not prepare any supplies or any kind of welcome for this white hair either. So one is that, okay, I'm not doing too well, I'm committing haram and wrongs and disobediences, but I'm not doing even any good deeds that I'm sending forth for the hereafter. That's what he's trying to say. So he's making a distinction between those two, because there's some people who have one problem and not the other problem. There's some people who make salat and everything. They put their fara'id, they do their fara'id, but then they still do haram. You know, they might still drink once in a while, or lie, or zina, or whatever it is. But my problem is both. Neither am I on the right path, I'm in disobedience, but at the same time, I'm also not preparing anything to send to the hereafter. Which is what he's saying is, I'm not doing any preparation for the guest. No amal salih, no fi'l al-jameel, nothing. And had I honored this guest, now, subhanallah, there's a hadith, a very short hadith, man kana lahu sha'run, فَلْيُكْرِمْهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has hair, they should honor it. And then there's the other hadith, which is that the white hair is the nur of a believer. Because it's supposed to guide you, because it's supposed to help you to realize that I'm going somewhere else now. I don't have time anymore. Subhanallah. So he said that had I honored it, and had I put something forward, then on the day of need, I would have found it to be of benefit to me, which is on the day of need, which is the day of judgment. But I didn't do any of these things. I didn't benefit from it at all, and I didn't stop my way of disobedience. Now the question that arises here is that this person seems to know that what he's doing is wrong. So then, why is he acting like an ignorant person? If he knows what it's wrong, it's because although you know, but if that knowledge doesn't help you at the time, then it's like you have no knowledge. And I think we're all very guilty of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true knowledge that helps us. That's why a poet says, يُغْمَى عَلَى الْمَرْءِ فِي أَمَامِ مِحْنَتِهِ حَتَّى يَرَى حَسَنًا مَا لَيْسَ بِالْحَسَنِ. That sometimes a person is kind of intoxicated, becomes kind of unconscious in a metaphorical sense, just in front of his challenge, the trial that's going to come in front of him, he becomes kind of intoxicated, or he becomes a bit bewildered. So then he sees good even in that which is not good. And that's the nature of our sins, that we do it despite the fact that we know it just seems to be okay, justified, or we're so passionate about it, or our shahwa and desire overcomes us to such a degree. So it is as though that at that time, the knowledge that you're supposed to have of something being halal or haram, it's taken away from us. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَزْنِ الزَّانِي حِينَ يَزْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That when a fornicator fornicates, he says, a fornicator does not fornicate while he's still a believer. And many of the ulama have taken that to mean that the iman comes out for a while that's happening. Because if you're a mu'min, you can't do this. So that means if you are doing it, that means, okay, let's push the iman out for a while. It will come back. It's not going to make you kafir. But if it does keep going out for a long time, you might like to stay out then. I'm not going to go back. Keeps throwing me out. Whenever that guy comes, he throws me out of the house. Can you imagine that? You got a roommate, when somebody comes in, you throw him out. No, you can't be here. Eventually he's going to say, let me find another place. وَلَا يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرَ حِينَ يَشْرَبُهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. A person doesn't intoxicate himself, drink intoxicants, drink wine, when he does, while he's a believer. So that means the belief is coming out at that time and then it comes back in. In another hadith, it mentions that it stays above your head like a shadow, like a cloud. Then it comes back in. One of the ulama, they took the meaning of that they are actually, that this iman is so valuable that although you're doing this wrong, what it does is that it goes up above your head as a shadow to protect from the punishment of Allah. Because when we commit this sin, we could be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what this iman does is it goes, what the Prophet ﷺ is trying to say, they say, this is their opinion, that it's actually protecting us from the punishment of Allah at that time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect it from being seized from us. Now the nafs, there's three types of nafs. I'm sure many of us have probably heard these three types. One is the ammara, one is the lawama, and one is the mutma'inna. Ammara, lawama, mutma'inna. The ammara is the worst of them. It's the lowest of them. And the mutma'inna is the highest stage. And the nafs has to be in one of these stages at any given time. It can't be in none of these stages. There's no fourth option. So the lawama is in between the two. Ammara is the lowest, and the lawama is between the two. So ammara is the one that incites to do wrong. It's the one that likes you to do desire, fulfill your desire. That's why the ulama, they mentioned the difference between the shaitan attacking you and your nafs attacking you. You can tell easily. Because what the shaitan is going to make you try to do, get you to do any sin. So he's going to give you a thought. And if you say, A'udhu Billah, whatever, he'll come back with another thought of another sin. He just wants you to do something. It's just pathetic. It's just like, just do some sin, right? But if the nafs is like a stubborn child, where it's one sin, and it clouds your mind, even though you're in salat, and it just pushes, like that child who will not stop crying until you bring him out of the cot. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure everybody's had one of those, right? Alhamdulillah. Right? That's islah. That's our islah being done by that child. There's a woman, she kept complaining about her child to her sheikh. And the sheikh thought, how bad must the child have been? And one day, he must have seen the child. He said, Subhanallah, this child has been sent for your islah. This is the way you're going to become a waliyah, a wali of Allah, through this child. Because everything helps. That's why they say actually some women, they're able to get higher spirituality than many men because of these kind of difficulties that they go through. That's what one of the sheikhs said. He said that I've seen women who get a much higher realm of spirituality and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a shorter time than men, because they have more of a struggle sometimes, especially in their domestic duties. And then there's the softness of the heart, which helps in that case as well. So that's the nafsul ammara. The nafsul ammara is your greatest enemy, if it gets to that level, right? You see, when we come into this world, we're given a neutral nafs. It becomes an ammara. It's not like we have one ammara, one this and one that. It's going to be in any one of these states. It becomes an ammara by the shaitan prompting us to do things, and we start doing these things, and then the nafs becomes habituated to it. So that's what it is. The lawama then is the one where it's the one that senses you. It's the opposite of this one. When you're thinking of something wrong, then it tells you, no, don't do that. Laum. It makes you blameworthy. It criticizes you. It makes you feel bad. Most of us are in between these two. Most believers are in between these two. Sometimes this, and then sometimes is this. Sometimes when you had a really bad time, there's more of the ammara. And if you had a really good time, then the more of the lawama. Ammara still tries to get in, but the lawama is stronger. You can only strengthen it through the dhikr of Allah and by opposing it. That's why generally in Ramadan, the lawama becomes better and stronger for some time. And the shaitan then attacks to try to make it back into the ammara after he comes out on Eid day, after Ramadan. So now, when a person does wrong and then makes istighfar, the lawama helps him to make that istighfar. But generally, this is the state. This is the challenge that Allah has given us. It's a challenge that Allah has given us. The mutma'inna is the one who's serious. It's comfortable. It knows where it's going. Once you qualify as mutma'inna and you get into that category, then it's straight. Yes, it's still the dunya, so still it can go off track once in a while, but generally it's going to stay very straight. It's going to be mustaqir in worship, and it's going to accept the tawfiq for more good deeds. It's going to be very receptive for good deeds. Now, the only way to get to that is to do the good deeds and to do the dhikr and to oppose the nafs. That's the way to get to the mutma'inna. Now, the thing is that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only telling one nafs to get into Jannah. And subhanallah, this is one of those verses that are quite scary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbik, radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. That's the only nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing like that. Not the ammara or the lawama. What chance do we stand in if we don't have a nafs al-mutma'inna, a qalbun salim, before we pass away? Because that's the one Allah is saying, O nafs al-mutma'inna, O satisfied, tranquil soul, irji'i ila rabbik, go back to your Lord, radiya, mardiya, pleased and being pleased with. So you're pleased with Allah, this nafs is pleased with Allah, and Allah is pleased with this nafs. Both ways. Mutma'inna, the word mutma'inna comes from the word itmi'nan. And really, this is a description of the earth. This is one of the descriptions of the earth. The earth has many descriptions. Munkhafida. Mutma'inna means munkhafida, the low earth. So what it means is that the nafs al-mutma'inna, you're going to get an effective means of achieving a nafs al-mutma'inna is through tawadu. It's through humility. Just like the origin of that term is the lowly earth. So the lawama and the ammara are not being announced, are not being called to go into Jannah. That's for the mutma'inna. So come, we've made it permissible for you, we've given you a ticket. Come in, and everybody's looking around. So radiya, in the dunya, this nafs is, radiyata mardiya, radiya is a description that in this world, the person is satisfied with the ahkam of Allah. No complaints ever. However Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to do, they do. And mardiya, this is a very high description. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not deprive us of this state. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also put our names into the list of those who will be given nafs al-mutma'inna. You see, insan has three enemies. The insan has three enemies. One is the shaitan. One is the nafs. And the third is the dunya. The shaitan, the nafs, and the dunya. How do you deal with each one of them? You deal with each one of them. You know, when you've got when a person has a sickness, what do they do? You go and you check online. The doctor tells you, they give you this literature, avoid this, avoid this, sleep early, avoid this kind of dust, or don't drink milk, etc., etc. So, I mean, we never, you know, this is the stuff that we should be Googling all the time. You're not going to find much up there, but if you know what I mean. So the way to avoid the world is bizuhdi fiha, is by abstinence from the world. Don't make it too close to your heart. Use it, but don't make it too close to your heart. Shaitan, you have to oppose him. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, and don't listen to him and oppose him. The nafs, by abandoning shahawats, abandoning desirable things. That's the only way you're going to do that. That's why Ramadan is what teaches us that you abandon halal things, to just get used to abandoning, to getting control. That's the whole point of it. Some of the hukama, they mentioned that man istawlat alayhi nafsu sara asiran fi shahwatihi shahwatiha. Anybody who the nafs dominates, he becomes a prisoner in its desires. Subhanallah. We think we're enjoying our desires that we fulfill, and these hukama are saying that we are actually imprisoned. What a difference of perspective. May Allah change our perspective. Mahsuran fi sijni hawaha. We are totally shackled in the prison of his desires. And that's why our heart can't accept good things. so easily because of that reason. Another alim said, "Man malaka nafsahu fi shahwati lil haram lam yakhtur bi balihi al muharram." So you know, we think, well, I wish I just never even think about haram. Well, the way to do that is that you have to take a step first. And that step is that, what he says, that whoever controls themselves from the shahwa for haram things, so they're full control, I don't want haram things, you got control over that, then no way will haram even come into your mind. It won't come into your mind. وَالرَّاتِئْ حَوْلَ الْحِمَى يُوشَكُ أَنْ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. Anybody who's going to keep going around the boundaries, eventually he's going to fall in. What is the medicine? What is the medicine for this? وَالطِّبُّ لِهَذِ الدَّاءِ التَّوْبَةُ وَتَطْهِيرُ النَّفْسِ مِنَ الرَّذَائِلِ. The only medicine for this is tawbah, continuous tawbah, and to purify the nafs from its evil traits. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say this dua quite often. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Beautiful. Just the whole focus on the nafs. Let's read it once. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha wa anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyaha wa mawlaha. What it means is, oh Allah, give my nafs its taqwa, its protection, its God fearingness. Put that in my nafs. And then he said, wa zakkiha, and purify it. The way to get the taqwa is to purify it. Now we're asking you to help us because it's so difficult for us to do it. We keep falling. Because you're the best one to purify it. You're the best sheikh you can have. Best peer that you could have. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anta waliyuha. You are the wali, the guardian, and the mawla, the best patron, the best guardian of the nafs. So that's why you're the best one who can purify it. So white hair. Unfortunately, many of us, we start getting white hair. It does make us think a bit, but then we get used to it. We get used to it. The body adapts, so the mind adapts. Okay, fine. We just get used to it. That's why a poet says, عَرَوْتُ عَنِ الشَّبَابِ وَكُنْتُ غُسْنًا كَمَا يَعْرِي عَنِ الْوَرَقِ الْقَضِيبُ وَبَكَيْتُ عَلَى الشَّبَابِ بِدَمْعِ عَيْنَيَّ وَمَا نَفَعَ الْبُكَاءُ وَلَا النَّحِيبُ أَلَا لَيْتَ الشَّبَابَ يَعُودُ يَوْمًا فَأُخْبِرُهُ بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمَشِيبُ. What he's saying there is, I'm now out of my youthfulness, and now I'm like a tree after in autumn, you know, when all the leaves fall off and you're totally bare. That's how I am right now. I'm crying over the loss of my youth with the tears of my eyes. But this crying and this wailing will never help me. It's of no benefit. And then he says, oh, if only youth can return. If only youthfulness can return one day, and then I will tell it. I will inform it of what old age did to me. How bad old age is, I'll tell my youth that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke quite a bit about white hair. He said, "Man shaba mashibatan fil Islam kanat lahu nuran yawm al-qiyamah." Anybody who gains white hairs in Islam, so they're Muslim and they become old as Muslims, then this will be a nur for them on the day of judgment. This will be a nur for them on the day of judgment. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he first saw white in his beard, he said, "Ya Rabbi, ma hadha? What is this, O my Lord?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هذا وقار. This is dignity. This is dignity. It's supposed to be dignity. That's what it is. May Allah make it a source of dignity for us. So the point is that white hair, the changing of our hair color, is supposed to make a person think. It's supposed to make you remorseful and repent on what we've wasted of our time. Because this is, seriously, it's... The thing about white is that you can't change it. I don't know if there is now hair transplants for people who lose hair. But I don't know if anything, I don't know if there's anything except covering up for white hair. You know, take some vitamins or something and it will give you black hair again. And the problem with white hair is that if you've got one here and one here and you pull it out, it attacks you. Three come afterwards. Okay, you pull three out and then you'll get nine. So then you eventually lose the battle with them. That's the thing with white hair. It's related from Muhammad ibn Aslam al-Khawas. He says that I saw Qadi Yahya ibn Aktham in my dream. And I said to him, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to you? How did he deal with you after he passed away? He said, how did he deal with you? So this is what the Qadi Yahya ibn Aktham, he responded. He said, أوقفني بين يديه. He made me stand in front of him and he said, Ya Shaykh, As-Su, O evil Shaykh, O evil old man, O evil Shaykh, لولا شيبتك لأحرقتك بالنار. Hadn't I given you this white hair, then I would have burnt you in the fire. فأخذني ما يأخذ العبد بين يدي مولاه وغشي علي. So he says, I became so frightened, just like a slave would become frightened in front of their master. And I fainted. I became unconscious. When I came back, when I regained my consciousness, he said it again to me. But this time, I had a bit more strength. So I said, Ya Rabbi, ما هكذا بلغني عنك. This is where your knowledge will benefit you. This is where this person's tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him the knowledge, not raw knowledge, it's muwaffaq, it's the soul tawfiq. Can you use your knowledge? This is where it benefited. He said, مَا هَكَذَا بَلَغَنِي عَنْكَ. This is not what has reached me about you. The description that I'm seeing right now is not what has reached me. And then subhanAllah, look, he says, وَمَا بَلَغَكَ عَنِّي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, what was transmitted to you? What was conveyed to you about me? فقلت حدثني عبد الرزاق عن معمر عن الزهري عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه عن نبيك عن جبريل عنك يا كريم أنك قلت ما شاب عبد شيبة في الإسلام إلا استحييت أن أعذبه بالنار. See, his hadith transmission did work that day. What did he say? He said, Allah said, what reached you? He said, Abdul Razak related to me from Ma'mar, who related from Zuhri, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, who related from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, who related from your prophet, who related then from Jibreel, from you, O Kareem, O benevolent one, that you had said that no servant becomes white in Islam, meaning white-haired in Islam, except that Allah is speaking, except that I am embarrassed to punish him with the fire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, صدق عبد الرزاق وصدق معمر. عبد الرزاق told the truth. معمر told the truth. وصدق الزهري. Imam Zuhri also told the truth. وصدق أنس وصدق نبي وصدق جبريل. All of them have told the truth. أنا قلت ذلك. I definitely said that. انطلقوا به إلى الجنة. Take him to Jannah. Take him to Jannah. But at the end of the day, you could memorize this hadith and say, I'm going to use this hadith on that day. And you know, it'd probably work. It would probably work. And the reason I say this is that if you're going to take the effort to learn this hadith, this hadith is not going to come to you just like that. It's going to come to you by effort. The effort is driven by tawfiq. You've got concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give us forgiveness for that. Allahu Akbar. It's related that a young man in the Bani Israel, he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 20 years. And then after that, something happened to him, and then he disobeyed Allah for 20 years. He got off track. He disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 20 years. One day he looked at himself in the mirror, and he saw white on his face. He saw this guy seemed to have a beard. Right, even the Fujjar in those days had a beard. Even the transgressors had a beard in those days. Because it was tradition. So it was normal, it's fine. You didn't have to look like an alu. So When he saw that, it really made him feel bad. Look what's going on. You know, those days didn't have mirrors all over the place. Nowadays we have mirrors every room, you know, you can't escape yourself. Right? You have mirrors in your pockets. And every traffic light, you know, for some people. He became extremely concerned about himself. Well, look what I've been doing. So then immediately he spoke to Allah, the best entity you can speak to. You got a problem, speak. He said, Ilahi, ata'tuka 20 wa 'asaytuka 20 sanatan. I have obeyed you for 20 years and I have disobeyed you for 20 years. Fa in raja'tu ilayka ataqbaluni. Now if I am to return to you after these 20 years, will you accept me? Will you accept me? فَهَتَفَ بِهِ هَاتِفْ يُسْمَعْ صَوْتُهُ وَلَا يُرَى شَخْصُهُ. He heard a sound, an announcement. He couldn't see who it was, but he heard a sound. He said, it said, أَحْبَبْتَنَا فَأَحْبَبْنَاكَ. You loved us, we loved you. تَرَكْتَنَا فَتَرَكْنَاكَ. Then you abandoned us, we abandoned you. وَعَصَيْتَنَا فَأَمْهَلْنَاكَ. You disobeyed us, but we gave you respite. We didn't seize you. We gave you time. وَإِن رَجَعْتَ إِلَيْنَا قَبَلْنَاكَ. If you do return to us, we will accept you. اللهم اقبل علينا بحنانك وعطفك يا أرحم الراحمين. Oh Allah, accept us as well. Through your compassion and your clemency, O most merciful of the merciful ones. Now these are the kinds of things that are going through the author's mind. We can't say for sure, but these are the kind of things that are going through. Now, he says, so after saying, neither has myself prepared fair deeds in hospitable welcome for a guest who has taken up residence on my head. Such a beautiful expression. Then he said, لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره كتمت سرا بدا لي منه بالكتم. What's he saying? He's saying, had I known that I'm not going to listen to it, I'm going to be so besharam, right? I'm going to be so bold that I'm not going to take advice from my white hair, he's saying. So this is what he's saying. Had I understood that I would not have honored it, then I would have used the katam dye to hide what it disclosed. Look at that expression. I would have dyed my hair. So at least it doesn't seem so bold that it's white and I'm not doing anything about it. If I just knew that this is how I was going to treat it from before. So this is obviously his confession now, right, to the other person, that this is what my sense is, you know, this imaginary dialogue that's going on. If I knew that I was going to have so many shortcomings and I'm going to be excessive in my disobedience and I'm not going to do anything, I'm not going to prepare anything, I'm not going to send anything forward, I'm not going to honor this guest that's there with good deeds and so on. Because he's saying that generally it's understood that when a person becomes white-haired, then it should create some kind of concern, dignity and remorse, and a worry and grief. And that I should start making tawbah now, when this is happening. And when it does happen, then eventually it should take away all of these desires from my heart, all these desires that I've had until now. But I'm finding that I'm getting 40 years old and it's becoming worse. Subhanallah. It's becoming worse. So I initially got happy. This is like it's going on in his mind. Initially I got very happy that this is all that's going to happen. Now that the white hair will come, this is what's going to happen. I got really excited. Because generally, whiteness is people become salihin at that age then. And people do tawbah, people repent. So when it did actually come then, with all of these desires that I had, and then it attacked my head, its forces just took over. Right? It says, وَفَشَى فِي الرَّأْسِ أَسْكَرُهُ. Its army just took over my head. وَنَصَبَ لِخَطِيبِ الْوَعْذِ مِنْبَرَهُ. And it also put up its minbar to start preaching. Allahu Akbar. رَكَنَتِ النَّفْسُ إِلَى الْمَلْذُوذَاتِ. The problem is that I didn't listen to this khutbah. Every Friday I didn't listen to it. But I went into more and more into my ladhat, into my desires. And I didn't pay it any heed whatsoever. So now, if I knew that that is what I was going to do to it, if I knew that this is what I was going to do to it, then, and I knew then what I know today of how I would respond to it, and how my nafs is not going to listen to it, لَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, then I would have become embarrassed from Allah and from the people. And I would have quickly rushed to keep it covered, so that when people see me, they don't think I'm so old and I'm still messing around. So that's what I would have done. I would have dyed my hair. But I was hoping for something else, and unfortunately I failed in my hope and my dreams and my desires. And my tawfiq is now only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, just as a side point, we've actually discussed this in the Shama'il, that for a person who starts getting white hair, should they cover it or not? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father to change, to change his color, and told him to abstain from black. Most ulama agree that black should be totally avoided. However, there were a few ulama, a few sahaba as well, that thought that that was very particular for him. But generally the understanding is that black should be avoided. Now, should people use it, or should they leave the white hair or not? So there's both opinions. You know, from the hadith you understand that it's a sunnah, but then you had others who left it, especially when the Prophet ﷺ himself is saying that the white hair is the nur of the believer. So then why change it? Maybe he told, because he actually, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about Abu Bakr and it was extremely white all over, and maybe it was better that he changed it. So what the ulama have concluded from all of this, as a simple conclusion, is that it depends on the trends of that area, because you don't want to do something that's going to make you be boastful, right? Or look like something that you're not supposed to look like. If your white hair looks dignified, then keep it white. Because some people, they have a silvery kind of white, where it looks very, mashallah, honorable and dignified. It gives them much more waqar and respect. When people see them, they think, mashallah, you know. And for some people, it makes them actually look wispy. It makes them look, you know, maybe lightheaded or weird or whatever the case, so then they should change it. So it just depends. That's essentially the conclusion here. So the final one we'll read today. After confessing all of this, giving his nasiya in between, he says, مَنْ لِي بِرَدِّ جِمَاحٍ مِّنْ غَوَايَتِهَا كَمَا يَرُدُّ جِمَاحُ الْخَيْلِ بِاللَّجَمِ مَنْ لِي بِرَدِّ جِمَاحٍ مِّنْ غَوَايَتِهَا كَمَا يَرُدُّ جِمَاحُ الْخَيْلِ بِاللَّجَمِ Who will now help me curb a bolting rebel's willfulness in the way that a rebel stallion may be curbed with reins? Now he's going and totally speaking about a different metaphor now. You see, what it is that you have a very trained stallion. It generally remains very straight. But if it does go wrong, if it does become wild again, it becomes extremely difficult to get it back on track. So now he's saying that this is my state, that I'm like this wild stallion. SubhanAllah, that's many of us are like that. We go through this turmoil in our mind that we want to try, we want to become better. We become better for a few days and it goes back. We become better for a day and it goes back. That's the problem. So jimah, jamaha means to ghalaba. It means to overcome, to dominate. So it's who will help me curb a bolting rebel's willfulness in the way that a rebel stallion may be curbed. So when the nafs becomes totally associated with ladhat, with desires, and it becomes totally engrossed in them, haram, makruhat, etc., it becomes very difficult to now rectify it. It's difficult to take it away from what it's so used to. It's very difficult. Unless illa biquwwatin min al-malik al-qadir, unless you have assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes easy. So dua is needed and opposition is needed to the nafs. So it's necessary to do the jihad al-nafs and to try to dominate it from what it's become so used to. So you have to deprive it from that. You have to rehabilitate it by first depriving it from the alcohol or whatever it is that they do. See, the problem with the horse is that if it does become wild like that and it bolts, then it becomes very difficult to deal with it. Now, the thing is that the horse you can still work with, but the nafs is supposed to be worse than the horse, because you need the assistance of Allah. Right? So there's nothing tangible that you can work with unless you call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no just practical steps that you can just take. You have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Because with the horse, you can deceive it or whatever. That's the way animals work. See, he's saying this on a question that arises after. He said, like, you knew you were so bad, you know, you knew you were into all of this. So why didn't you respect your white hair, and why didn't you prepare something for the hereafter? So now he's saying that, look, this is my dilemma. So what he's trying to say, he's trying to impart to us, is that the nafs is like that. At the last minute when your white hair comes, you can't just suddenly change it. So do you understand why he's going on to this now? Because the question that arises after all that, okay, you knew this was all bad, so why didn't you just change it? He said, well, I was helpless now. Because for 20, 30 years I've been engrossed in, and my nafs is so habituated to all of these things. Now I see the white hair, although I feel bad about it, but there's nothing I can do because I'm so in the hole. So that's what he's saying, that it's like the horse has bolted. It's become a rebel. That's what the problem is. فَمَنْ لِي بِرَدِّ جِمَاعٍ Who is going to help me now bring this back together? أَوْ كَيْفَ أَطْمَعْ فِي صَرْفِهِ وَأَنَا أَعْجَزُ الْعَاجِزِينَ And I'm the most feeble of players in this. How am I going to be able to? Who's going to help me? Unless إِلَّا بِتَأْيِيدٍ تَأْيِيدِ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The only thing that can help is support from the one whose dominions include the heavens and the earth. What Shaykh Abul Hassan al-Shadhili mentions, he says that whenever a person has gone into the deepest recesses of following their nafs, and now the nafs is not going to help him to become better, because it's a full nafsul ammara, full on nafsul ammara. Now he's got two options. This is a person who's a believer still. He's still got belief. So you've got two options now, right? The two options are, one is to understand that all the bounties that are still coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the health we have, the money we have, the life that we're still living, all the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given him, that he's still got his iman, the person still has iman, the tawheed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made beloved to his heart. That's why he won't give up his tawheed. Yes, he's doing everything wrong, but he won't give up his tawheed. He still is a Muslim and a believer at heart. So it's to take it from, you know, because what is the strand that he can take? One is, okay, Allah has still given, these are still ni'mah of Allah on me. He's not taken everything away from me. I've still got these bounties. So it's to take the bounty route, acknowledgement of the bounty route. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made tawheed adorned in my heart, beloved to my heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made kufr and fusuq and isyan hated by me, even though I do it. I don't want to, but Allah has made it hated in my heart, even though I do it. So then he should say, Ya Rabbi, an'amta alayya bihada, wa sammaytani rashidan, fakayfa ay'asu minka wa anta tamudduni bifadlik. Wa in kuntu mutakhallifan fa arju an taqbilani wa in kuntu ra'iyan. So now you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say to Allah, Oh Allah, you've given me all of these bounties. Iman, Tawheed, you've given me all of these bounties. You've called me a person who's guided, more guided than those who don't have Iman, right? How can I now become despondent from you despite the fact that you're still helping me so much by at least keeping my Iman preserved? It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gives somebody iman and then he takes a back seat. Allah is giving permission for that iman to stay with us at every moment that it stays. And that does not tire him. So Allah, you're still doing that. Oh Allah, if I am behind, I want you to still accept me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when we recognize what he's given us. There are so many people who are in this state. They feel totally helpless. Shaitan makes them feel like that. But they should just focus that Allah still has given them bounties. This is the way of hope. So that's one thing he can do. The other way is just to show absolute need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to show him that I am in absolute need to you always. So he says, Ya Rabbi Sallim Sallim. Oh my Lord, how do you translate this? Just give me safety. Give me safety. That's all I can say. I got no way. There's no way I can gain safety except through you. Through you. And then he says that there is nobody who has been overcome by the nafs, which is obviously based on the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nobody that is going to get out of this who's been cut away from ubudiyya, except with these two ways now, because that's all they've got to go on now. To either take into consideration the bounties you still have and say, oh Allah, you're still giving me them, it means that you've got hope. You can give me more. And the other one is, oh Allah, I just ask you for safety, I've got nothing else to show. And if a person then wastes these two opportunities as well, then فَالشِّقْوَةُ حَاصِلَةً then it's wretchedness. Then it's misfortune. وَالْبُعْدُ لَازِمْ then there's going to be distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ and may we be protected from that. So we'll stop there. But the next one is... now it's full on. Now he's just preaching now. You know, that this whole love thing is finished. So now listen to the next one. He says, فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا إِنَّ الطَّعَامَ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةً نِهَمِي think not to break unlawful whims by satisfying them. Don't think you're going to break your bad habits by continuing to do them. Food only increases a glutton's desire. The more you eat, the more you want to eat. وَالنَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبِّ الرَّضَاءِ وَإِن تَفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِ the ego is like a child. Neglect it and it will grow up still suckling. Only if you wean it will it be weaned. وَرَاعِهَا وَهِيَ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ سَائِمَةٌ وَإِن هِيَ اسْتَحَلَّتِ الْمَرْعَى فَلَا تُسِمِ guard it as it grazes in the pastures of deeds. And should it find the grazing sweet, let it not roam. We'll be covering those in detail. But now, as you see, he's giving advice now. And now it's started.
اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزا الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله Oh Allah, forgive us our sins. Oh Allah, we are extremely sinful servants. Oh Allah, we've come to you with dark hearts. Oh Allah, we're sitting in the masjid here, but we have darkness in our hearts. We have sins that cover our hearts for many, many years. Oh Allah, our nafs is constantly telling us to fulfill our desires. Oh Allah, our nafs is exactly as the author has mentioned here. Oh Allah, we have had many, many different types of reminders in the form of white hair, in the form of accidents, in the form of losses, in the form of shortcomings. Oh Allah, these things may startle us for a short while, but then afterwards we go back to thinking that it's all fine and it's all normal. Oh Allah, make these signs that you give us, make us pay heed to them. And to really take them seriously. Oh Allah, because if you don't, this tawfiq can only be from you. Oh Allah, we're self-confessing sinners here. Oh Allah, and we confess that there's no way. We have absolutely no other strategy except through you. Oh Allah, we understand that it's just pure tawfiq. Oh Allah, we understand it's just pure assistance from you. It's just pure support from your side. Oh Allah, there's no way. We don't have any other means of doing this. Oh Allah, we don't have any other strategies. We don't have any other tricks up our sleeve. Oh Allah, this, the only way we can do this is to ask you. And that's why we are confessing this. Oh Allah, you love it when your servant confesses to you because it expresses our ubudiyya and our servitude. Oh Allah, even though we're saying this, we say it with a dark heart. But oh Allah, take it at its face value. Oh Allah, even though you know very well what's in our hearts and you know the ikhlas and the absence of it in our hearts. Oh Allah, accept our good deeds. Oh Allah, turn us away from our evil deeds. Oh Allah, make us an accepted beings before we die. Oh Allah, so that we could be in the company of your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the high levels of Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, these signs that come to us. Oh Allah, we've had many signs. We've had gruesome accidents. We've had many, many issues. Oh Allah, this could happen to any one of us and we would be unprepared. Oh Allah, we would be unprepared. Oh Allah, grant us softness in our heart and obedience in our heart, illumination in our heart, your nur in our heart. Oh Allah, accept us all in the fullest manner. Oh Allah, accept us all in the fullest manner. Grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, pick us up like a mother picks up her soiled child and purifies and washes that child and then brings it close to her. Oh Allah, we know you have more mercy than that. Oh Allah, we ask you to also pick us up who are in this state of sinfulness, state of darkness. Oh Allah, and purify us, because anta khayru man zakkaha, you're the one who's the best of purifiers of the heart. Grant our nafs your taqwa, God-fearingness, your fear, oh Allah, and because you're the best one to purify our hearts, oh Allah, you're the patron, you are the caretaker, oh Allah, you are the guardian, you're in control of all of these things, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, we can't ask anybody else, oh Allah, we ask you and make it easy for us to live the rest of our life, but make it that we live it now in your obedience rather than in your disobedience. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And if you're finding this useful, you know, as they say, do that like button and subscribe button and forward it on to others. Jazakallah khair and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.